We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
This week on the Aggies All the Way podcast, I'm joined by brand new Utah State women's basketball head coach, Kayla Ard. She was just hired a couple days ago, I guess yesterday officially. Today's Tuesday when we're recording this. I'm not sure when it will post. But brand new to Logan, brand new to Utah State, and bringing a lot of energy to the Utah State women's basketball program. Coach, thanks for joining me. I know we're going to have a lot of conversations throughout the next year or so, pregame and postgame interviews and all that kind of stuff. So I guess just get used to me. But what have these past couple of days been like for you?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. So the last 48 hours has really been a whirlwind. You know, it's been a lot. A lot of that comes with the virus and traveling and all that stuff. Obviously, you know, it's been difficult just to get flights, or the flights safe, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So it's been a little crazy, but a good kind of crazy. And then there's just so much to be done, whether it's stuff in HR, whether it's, you know, the hiring process itself. You know, my biggest priority right now is to reaching out to the players, the current players, and letting them get to know me and me get to know them and that. So that's, you know, and that takes time. Those aren't, you know, 3-4 minute conversations. I was on the phone with one of the players yesterday for 45 minutes. So, you know, it's been a lot. It's been a lot, but it's been great. It's been really great. It's been very welcoming. You know, the athletic department, the community, even, you know, just little things. You know, you go into a Walgreens to grab something, the people are so nice, so friendly. This morning I went through Starbucks and the guy in the drive-thru actually asked, anything, what are you doing, anything special today? And we're like, yeah, I'm actually the new women's basketball coach here at Utah State. And he was just so hype about it. So, you know, it's just awesome. You know, the Logan community seems amazing so far. And so it's, like I said, it's been crazy, but definitely a good crazy. And I've really enjoyed it so far. And again, just really grateful and happy to be here.
People here care a lot about this university. They care a lot about Utah State athletics, and We're excited to have you here. What has it really sunk in yet? I mean, I know it's been kind of a whirlwind of a couple of days, but has it really hit you yet? You're the women's basketball coach of Utah State University, the head coach. It's your first head coaching gig.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's really sunk in yet. You know, like, it's been going so fast. You know, when the process started, it was kind of a hurry up and wait situation. And then the virus really broke out. So it kind of got like slowed down a lot. And then it went real fast again, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's been really interesting. And I don't think it has sunk in yet. You know, this is a dream come true for me. And it hasn't hit yet. I think when it hits, I'll have a little good kind of breakdown, you know, where I'm crying. I mean, I know I've thanked my family and friends and God and John and everybody so many times that it's kind of there. I'm very grateful for it and honored. And I feel like dream come true. I've been working for so long. It's like, I can't believe it's happening and it's coming full circle. So I haven't had that aha moment where I go, oh, okay, I'm the new head coach here at Utah State. You know, like I said, just is a dream, but, it's coming, you know, it's coming. It'll sink in soon, I hope. So, yeah, not yet, but it'll happen sooner or later.
So for those of you who might not be totally, familiar with your resume, your background, and your coaching stops before this, can you just kind of walk through briefly your coaching history and what steps led you to Utah State?
Yeah, for sure. So my first college coaching job was at Pensacola State College. It was a junior college. That was under a head coach that had coached me in high school. Her name is Shanda Rigby. She is now the head women's basketball coach at Troy University. And she got me there with her, so kind of taught me the way. And I wouldn't give up those days for anything. My time at junior college was really special, taught me so much about what kind of coach I wanted to be and how important, you know, coaches are to young people in their lives and how much they can influence them. And, you know, Shanda Rigby was a really influential person in my life. And she taught me how to be that to other people and be a positive, you know, female role model. And so those days at Pensacola State were really amazing. From there, she got the head job after 2 years at Troy, and the athletic director there was John Hartwell. So I went with her to Troy, and that is where I met John for the first time. And, so I was only there for 1 year. I got a really, really extraordinary opportunity to go to Clemson. And I don't know that I was really ready to do that yet, but it was an amazing opportunity. And you know, I had kind of made a name for myself in the business with recruiting. And so they wanted me to come over there and recruit. And it was a great opportunity. And so, you know, it was a little scary at the time. But I went and learned so much, and just playing in the ACC, you know, and coaching in that league, it was really special. And then from there, I had an opportunity to go to Dayton, which is you know, considered a mid major, but that place is unbelievable. You know, it's a big basketball school on men's and the women's side. I mean, we played in front of some really big crowds. That was a really special place, and so that was really, really cool. And that's kind of where I developed my I would say my X's and O's for the game versus recruiting. Cause prior to that, I'd been, you know, big recruiter. That's what I, you know, kind of made my reputation on, was recruiting. But then, yeah, when I got to Dayton, I had a really good mentor there that really put me into the X's and O's and kind of threw me in the fire a little bit with some of it. And it taught me how to do it and how to navigate through that part of the game. And so that was really special time there. And then we got a new coach at Dayton, and she was great too. I learned a whole nother side of the game from her, and then we ended up winning the championship there together, actually in the A-10. So then from there, I went to Denver as the associate head coach. So I had a chance to step into that role, and the head coach there just really gave me the opportunity to take on some head coaching responsibilities and really prepare me for an opportunity like this. So yeah, over 10 years, that's kind of been my journey to get here. And again, this is just, it's kind of one of those wow moments, you know, dream come true, and to watch it come full circle, you know, with meeting John at my first Division I head coaching job to now he's my boss, and he, you know, trusted me enough and believed in me enough to hire me. And, you know, he got to watch my career kind of develop, and sure. and you know, and then when the time was right, here I am. So yeah, it's been fun.
So at Denver, you at least closed out your time there as the interim head coach, correct?
Yes, yes.
What did you learn from that opportunity, from really taking the reins and running everything in a yeah. new game scenario?
You know what's so funny is that what I learned most from that is when you think you're ready, you're not. That's what I learned most from that. So, and that's about as honest as I could be. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm ready to be a head coach. I'm ready to be a head coach. Well, when you get thrown into that spot, things are going to happen that you think you're prepared for that you're not. And that's the great thing about having people around you that are supportive and that understand that. And that's why I chose Utah State. And because I know at any point in time I can go to the administration here. I can go to John, Amy, Jerry, any of those guys. And I could go across the hall to Craig and those guys. And I know that already after being here for 24 hours, you know, they're going to be there. They're going to help me through things that maybe I'm not ready for. So that's the biggest lesson that I learned going through the last 8 weeks at Denver as the interim. You know, you think you're ready, but something's going to happen, whether it's a late game situation or something with a player or whatever, travel. I mean, something's going to happen that you've never experienced before. And I think that's part of the fun. That's part of the journey, you know, learning your way through it. But you know, those last 7-8 weeks at Denver, getting to do that was – it definitely put me in a different spotlight. I'll say that. It made me think through things that maybe I was ready for, but I hadn't experienced them yet, you know. So then I got to experience them and I got to, you know, mess up some things and excel in some things, you know, and that's what makes you great. You know, most of the times when you mess something up, that's when you learn the best lessons. So it was irreplaceable. I mean, really was. There's no way that I could speak on how much that, you know, those couple of weeks really prepared me to do this and to be here.
Well, this is obviously kind of a weird time in sports in general, and I'm sure an especially weird time to be taking on your first head coaching job with the coronavirus and all the things that's yep. caused. So obviously you haven't been able to sit down and meet with the team or have any practices or workouts or anything with the team, but have you been able to reach out and talk with most of the players on the team and kind of make that first connection with them?
Yeah, for sure. I've texted with every single one of them, have been on the phone with probably about half of them so far, talking to the rest of them today, trying to get a few of them up here. We got some kids that are local or within an hour or two.
Right. I know most of them are home at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we got kids in Germany, we got kids in Australia, you know, they're all over the place. So, but a few of them are local and close enough that, you know, they could drive up here. I just want to make sure that they're comfortable. Their parents are comfortable with everything's out there right now with them coming and sitting down with us in person. Cause obviously you would rather meet in person and I'm sure they would rather meet me in person and get to know me a little bit. And so I'm trying to set that up maybe for tomorrow or the next day to really get some of those local kids here. But the other ones, you know, that aren't so local, I'm talking to them on the phone. Like I said, I was on the phone one of them yesterday, 45 minutes, you know, other ones, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes here and there, you know, just getting to know them and chatting with them, letting them know what I'm about and, you know, the future, what the future holds here for them, for me, for us as a team. And, it's been good. You know, I've gotten a really good response from them and they seem really excited, you know, and upbeat and just, it's like a breath of fresh air type thing. It seems to be coming from them. So it's, and for me, it's a breath of fresh air just to see their enthusiasm and their excitement. I mean, they've been extremely welcoming and so it's been good, but yeah, we're having to take some unorthodox, you know, measures, avenues to do this. I mean, this is a very serious thing out there, obviously, in the world. You know, people are scared and there's a lot of shutdowns and quarantines and that type of stuff going on. So, you know, it's just not realistic for us to all be in the same room and meet. And I wish they were here right now. I'm ready to get on the court. You know, I want to get on the court with them and go get these individual workouts going, start working on some player development. Let's get our ball handling tight. Let's get our 3-point shot ready, you know, but that's not possible right now. So you just got to figure out ways to think outside the box or think as if there is no box and figure out ways to get it done, whether that's through video, you know, or video Skyping, or maybe I might get on the court myself and demonstrate something and send them that, you know, you just never know. So you just got to figure out ways to get it done. And then it is what it is right now. You know, there's nothing we can do about it except, you know, pray that it passes soon. And I have faith that will, and then things can get back to, you know, quote unquote normal. So, until then, we're going to figure out ways to navigate it and make sure that we're still moving forward and, you know, really becoming a better program, a better team.
Well, and along with all that, it's really put a dent in recruiting, it seems like, because this is when that would be prime time to be out on the road going and visiting recruits and all that. So what kind of measures are you going to be able to take to communicate with the recruits that you currently have and to continue the recruiting process, even without being able to travel and do some of the things that you typically would?
Yeah, this is kind of a weird time for that because, you know, you take over a new program, and although a lot of the players that I was recruiting at Denver are going to be either the same or very, very similar here, so I've seen a lot of them already, so that's grateful. It's not like I went, you know, out to the East Coast or, you know what I mean, or down south. Or so, you know, Denver's 7.5 hours from Logan. So it's thankfully I have a database already and have kids in mind and stuff that I want to recruit, obviously. But to that effect, you still want to add kids. You want to see them. You want to, you know, July is such a huge time for recruiting. And not only for us for recruiting, but I feel bad for them, you know, for the players.
At the same time, these kids aren't playing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel so bad for them. You know, it's their last year of club ball, and some of these kids love their club, you know, their club experience more than they do their high school experience with their team there. So, you know, it's just a really – it's sad. You know, it's really sad, obviously. And, you know, the same goes for the teams that got their seasons cut short this year in college and stuff and all the sports. You know, it's just very sad time and something hard to accept and deal with. But – you know, as far as how am I going to navigate it, it's kind of the same as it is getting to know the players. All you can do really is use your technology the best you can. So, you know, reach out, whether it's phone or, you know, it's Skyping, videoing, you know, that type of stuff. You can get creative with emails and stuff you're sending in the mail and, you know, stuff like that. But as far as, you know, relationships go, it's got to be all through media right now. Luckily, most of these recruits nowadays, they got so much film on themselves. Sure. That you can at least watch that, which isn't the same, obviously, as seeing them in person, but it's the best we can do right now. So I'm just going to try to do my research and stay in touch with the players that I was previously recruiting. And you know, just to start there, that's going to take quite some time to reach out to all of them. So maybe by the time all that happens, maybe we'll have all this coronavirus stuff figured out, and we can you know, ease back into a little more new normal thing. But I've still got my fingers crossed and trying to have faith in the fact that maybe by July things will kind of settle down and these players and, you know, kids can get back out there and have their final season in AAU. So hopefully that happens. But if it doesn't, we'll figure it out, you know.
Well, you're taking over a team that's really young, and they lose three of their top four scorers from last year. And there's really just not a ton of experience on the court for most of the girls on this team. Have you been able to really watch much of last year's team? I know you're brand new in Logan and just got this job, but have you really been able to go back and watch many of last year's games or see what you have remaining on this team?
Yeah, I've watched a ton of film of them, and very, very familiar with the players on the team now from that. And I've actually had the opportunity to talk with or meet with the three guys that are leaving. So I got to meet with Marlene and Lindsay. Had a really good meeting with them. Great kids. And I told them, you know, hey, you guys are welcome around the program anytime. And Marlene's actually, she's having surgery today on her knee this morning. So she, I know she's got aspirations to go overseas. And I told her that, you know, I know I didn't coach her, but I would love to help her in any way that I can. Found out a funny fact about her when I was meeting with her. Her and I both played at the same junior college.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, she played at Chipola, and it was really funny. She said, yeah, I played at a junior college in Florida, and so it piqued my interest, obviously. And I said, oh, yeah, where? And she said, Chipola. I was like, no way, that's no way, you know? And she goes, yeah, and I was just, oh, my God. So it's just, you know, funny, small world. And then, yeah, I got to meet with Lindsay, too, and she gave me some really good insight on the team and things that have happened, you know, good and bad with the program. So just, it was really great meeting with those guys and getting to know them. And I've talked with Bassett on the phone and text with her. And I know she was supposed to be going overseas, but now it seems like that's going to be put on hold. So I told her the same thing. Hey, you want to be around the program this summer. You are always welcome to be here. Now, I don't know what's going to be going on around the program, but, you know, that's yet to be seen. But yeah, those guys are welcome. And even though I didn't coach them, I think they're important. I think that they're important, you know, to the program. But as far as the players coming back, I know Steph's the leading scorer coming back, and I've got to watch a lot of film on her, and you know, great player. I really like her, and you know, all of them, all the players. You know, there's some that I'm really, really excited about, and others that I need to watch more film on. And you know, the thing about watching film though on players is you may watch film on a player and they may look one way to you, but when you actually get them on the floor, they may be different. And that has a lot to do with the coaching staff that they're playing for. So what I'm asking them to do may be very different than what Coach Fink was asking them to do. So, you know, you just kind of have to wait and see on that kind of thing. Now, you know, I could tell you every single thing about their game that I've seen on film, but that doesn't mean there's not more stuff or less stuff to their game, you know, on either side. So that's why I'm so excited about that. I'm excited about that part. But, you know, we are young. We're going to be young. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes that's okay to be young. And that way they get more time to know what I expect and what's going to be expected here and what the expectations here and what our staff is going to hold them accountable for here. So, you know, we're young, but we're going to figure it out. You know, I'm excited about, like I said, the ones that are here that are coming back, and the energy and the response from them has been great. So, it is what it is. They didn't ask for me and they got me, and you know, I may or may not, whatever, however you want to say it, ask for them. But you know, I told the administration here when I accepted this job, those became my kids. So I'm going to do everything I can do to grow them as players and just make them better, you know, make us better as a team. So I'm excited about it. All I care about is that they want to be here, A, and B, they're going to play hard. That's it. They do those things, we're going to be just fine.
So you actually coached a game at the Spectrum.
Yes, I did.
A few years back, Denver came here mm-hmm. and actually won in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had a little bit of a flavor of Logan. Is there anything that you remember from that trip or impressions that you had from coming to Logan back then?
You know what's so funny? There's one thing that I remember, and that was the seats in the arena.
Those are hard to forget.
See, honestly, John asked me that question, and I would love to be like, oh, yeah, this great thing happened. The one thing that I remember were the seats. Yeah, as soon as I walked in there, I walked around in there and I go, oh my God, it was like a flashback. I was like, oh my God, I totally remember this. And he started laughing. So, yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, you coach so many games and stuff that, you know, but I didn't even remember the game until I went back and watched it. I went back and watched it on film. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that now. So it was our first year at Denver. And, but yeah, those seats, man, they stand out to you over there in the Spectrum. It's a lot coming at you from those colors, you know?
So what were at Denver, what were your main responsibilities? You said that you were the associate head coach, eventually the interim head coach.
Yeah.
And I know that you had a lot to do with recruiting, but what were your main responsibilities there?
Yeah, so recruiting obviously was really, really big. I was the offensive coordinator. So when I got there, Jim, he really gave me the offense, you know, and trusted me with it. And so that was really, really cool and really, really let me take it over my second year and then, you know, actually coach it, you know, in games and stuff my third year, which was, again, just so, so invaluable, you know. So, yeah, so I did the offense, did the recruiting. I did a lot of stuff with compliance. And I was literally in every meeting that Jim had. So every head coach is, you know, the stuff that he would do, whether it was budgets or whether it was, you know, schedule, whatever it was, I was in all those meetings. So He used to describe it as, she does everything I do, you know? So, and again, you know, you get to work for someone like that, that really trusts you that much and that puts that, you know, empowers you that way. It's such a great, you know, growth period for you. So yeah, literally, I mean, I could list off a ton of things, but whatever I'm going to be doing here, honestly, I got the opportunity to do it at Denver. So that was really, really cool. You know, I ended up having to coach the defensive side of the ball, too, in the last six, 7, 8 weeks or whatever it was at the end of the season there. And that it's not that it's new for me. I've been a defensive coach before, actually, but I'm very offensive minded. So, yeah, pretty much there's not really anything that I didn't do there, you know, from planning a practice to running camps to, you know, coaching in games. So, yeah, all the way across the board, it was just so many responsibilities and so much trust. It was really good.
So I'm sure that this is probably largely dictated on the personnel that you have and the players that you're putting on the court. But especially from an offensive standpoint, what is your ideal team look like? And how would you describe your style of play and what you want your teams to look like?
Yeah, so for me, I love athletic players. I love high IQ players that can think the game, that can see, that have a voice, that aren't afraid to come tell me, like, hey, coach, we're doing this and this isn't working. Like, what do you think about this? I love that. And that's a two-way street. You know, you got to earn that, and I gotta trust you, and you got to learn to trust me enough to say that to me. But I definitely like players like that. I love kids that play hard. I just want kids that play very, very hard, that love the game of basketball, that I'm not having to ask, hey, why don't you go get shots up? You know, I love seeing kids in the gym. And so I love that. You know, length, I really like length. You know, having one or two small players is okay, but I love a person that's got a, you know, a 5'10 body that's out on the perimeter, that's, you know, thick and strong and physical and gritty. And love that. Love good rebounders. Kind of comes with the athletic ability. And then, you know, I recruit for every person on the team to shoot threes. So post players, point guards, everybody. It's not like, oh, that's the shooter. Every person on my team needs to be able to shoot the three. So that's real big. That's real big in the system. And as far as the style of play, I play very fast. It is not a street ball type thing, but it is a run and gun type of system. Makes and misses. It's a structured transition that is all read and react stuff. So it's kind of predicated on where the ball goes, where's the post player, who got down the floor first, like stuff like that. And then what did the defense do? Okay, the defense did this. Well, this is open then. You know, so there's always an option, and there's probably 20, 25 different options off of it. And this is not something I'm calling on the sideline. This is, I have drilled this into their head in practice so much that it's so natural for them, and they don't have to think. And that's what makes it so fun for them. They don't have to think. They just, and there's no right or wrong. So it's not like they did something and I'm like, no, that was wrong. It was, well, that was what my instincts told me to do. So it's fun for them. You know, the players playing the system love it. The fans love it. It's fast paced, so it's a lot more exciting. You get a lot of fast break opportunities, you know. So it's fun. I want to try to score in 12 seconds. So we try to get a shot up in 12 seconds. And much like Craig Smith's system, they play sure. fast. They score a lot of points. So kind of like that. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's going to be primarily man-to-man. I want to be in your face when you have the ball. And then depending on who we're playing, you know, it could be passing lanes. We may be sagging in the gaps if they're not shooters. You know, we're going to have to be creative on our post defense, obviously, because we may be lacking some size to guard some of the post players in the Mountain West. So maybe we have to front, maybe we have to trap. You know, again, it'll all be kind of predicated on the opponent and the scouting report, but it'll be mostly man-to-man. You know, we'll have a zone or two in just to mix things up, you know, keep the other team on their toes. But for the most part, it'll be man-to-man. But it's a fun system. It's fun for everybody. It's fun for me to coach. It's fun for the players to play in. And it's fun for the fans. And I mean, Aggie Nation will love watching it. If they love going to the men's game, they'll love coming to the women's games. And just, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be, you know, I'm going to have a lot of energy over there on the sideline, which is going to feed off onto the players, which will feed off onto the fans. And, you know, we score, everybody's going to be up, and we're going to score a lot. So it's just going to be a really fun game to watch, you know, moving forward.
Well, and last season, as I'm sure you know, it was a very slow-paced yep. offense, partially by design, but mm-hmm. one of the lower-scoring offenses. So it's going to be an interesting change, yep. and I'm sure it'll be fun to watch for fans.
Yeah, I plan to, you know, average between 70 and 80 points a game, and we did that at Denver all 3 years we were there, and that's my plan, and they averaged 56 points last year. So, yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. I want to score more points than anybody in the Mountain West, so my goal is to be number one in scoring in the Mountain West, and we're just going to work to get there.
So you've talked a lot about recruiting and how that's something that you feel you specialize in a little bit. What's your personal philosophy as far as recruiting? I mean, do you mostly look after 4-year players, or I mean, do you do bring in a lot of transfers from junior colleges, from other programs? Do you go overseas a lot, or is it just a mix of all of the above?
Yeah, you know, the recruiting is changing so much with the whole transfer portal thing. It's starting to get out of control, and
sure.
And I mean, somebody could be super happy and decide they want to transfer. I mean, it's just crazy nowadays. And, you know, they're getting close to probably passing the rule on there's no penalty for transferring, you know, and you can transfer one time. So so it's going to be interesting navigating that moving forward. But for me, I will go get a player from anywhere that fits. And when I say fits, they need to fit the system, fit the program. And I want good people from good families. So I want a take the time to get to know the individual. I want to get to know her parents or grandparents or whoever's raising her. I want to know how she was raised. I want to know how she was taught. I want to know if, you know, does she look you in the eyes when you talk to her? Does she say thank you when you hold the door open for her? Those things are really, really important to me. And to have a championship program and a successful program, I think that you need people, good people like that. Absolutely. You got to have some talent. Yes. And you know, I've recruited a lot of talent, but I've learned a lot throughout the years too, that you're going to be better off taking a 4-star recruit that is a very good person and a good teammate over a 5-star recruit that can destroy your culture because they're not a good person. So I've learned that, you know, over the years, and I will recruit from anywhere. I'm obviously very proud from the fact that I came from a junior college and then I got to coach at a junior college. So I'm a big proponent of junior college players when they're right and they come from the right programs. I'm pretty familiar with most of the junior college programs across the country and have a lot of friends at that level and know who have programs that coach the way that, you know, those players would fit into my system. So you know, you got to be careful there. You don't recruit a junior college player and then try to change them. You know, they only have 2 years left. So when you get a JUCO kid, that's like, okay, this kid's coming into play right now, you know. So if you're going to go that route, then you got to make sure that it's the right fit. Internationally would probably be my last route to go if – and I only say that because it's just really – the way I like to recruit, as much time and energy I like to put in, and I like to sit down in person and talk to the player and the family and, you know, they have siblings, their high school coach, their club coach. I want to talk to those people in person. I want to watch the girl play in person. I want to see if she jogs off the floor. I want to see if she slaps everybody's hand when she goes down to the end of the bench. Does she thank the trainer for giving her water? I want to see those things, and you can't see those things in film. And a lot of times recruiting internationally, it's film. You know, you recruit internationally from film. So I want to be able to get to know them better, and that's very difficult sometimes from a budget standpoint internationally. You know, I can't take 4 trips over to, you know, wherever to go recruit somebody from Europe when I could go, you know, over to Ohio or down to Colorado or whatever to look at those kids 8 times and get to know them, you know. So those things are really important to me. It's not the style of play or the player from I've coached a lot of international players and had some really good ones. And you know, I love the style of play over there. It's just as far as the recruiting process goes for me, it makes it a little more difficult. So, but my main priority is to look in-state. Obviously, I want to win the in-state battle and go after kids in Utah. There's a lot of talent here, and there's some 2 particular AAU programs that I'm very, very familiar with and good friends with both of those head coaches. And I've actually, already touched base with both of them. And so I'll be leaning on those guys a lot. But the surrounding states are very important. There's some areas that obviously I have more connections in than others, but California is a big place for me. Obviously, Colorado coming from there, but Ohio, I've been there. But you know, I recruit a lot from Minnesota, from Illinois. There's good players everywhere, you know. And I'll take a good player from anywhere. They want to be here, and I they fit. I have that connection with them. Let's do it. You know, I'm not biased. I'll take a good player from anywhere that really fits and makes this a better program. But my focus will definitely be to win the in-state battle. And if there's good local talent or in-state talent, I want to go after it. And then the surrounding states would probably be my second, focus. But like I said, they're good enough, man. Let's get them here, you know? Mm. Yeah.
So have you had much of a chance to think about what your staff is going to look like and reaching out to people from programs that you've been at or just people that you're familiar with and bringing them in?
Yeah. Definitely have some people in mind. You know, it's something that you got to reach out and see, are they interested? Right. Do they want to come? What's their situation? Because, you know, when I was taking this job, it was very low key. I mean, no one even knew that I was like in on this, which is very rare in this profession.
It is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's very rare most of the time. You know, I think the coronavirus, though, it kind of took over everything on social media. So it wasn't out there. Like normally there's all these people that tweet about stuff like, oh, I hear such and such is in for this job. These are the top candidates for this job. Man, that the search committee and the administration did a great job here. It was so quiet, which held the craziness off a little bit longer for me. So that was nice. But you know, I've definitely thought about it, and I have some people in mind. I know so many people in this business, and there's so many great coaches out there, you know, and again, just like recruiting, developing a good staff that fits for me, for Logan, for the community, for the fans, for the players, everything. It's really important. I mean, for example, I'm going to work in an office next to all the men's basketball coaches. So me getting to know them a little bit, that's important too. You know, you don't want to bring people in that are going to clash. It makes for not a good work environment. So you got to think from the littlest side of things like that all the way up to the biggest side of things. And then you got to develop your staff around, what do you need on a staff? Well, obviously I need a defensive coach because I'm so offensive minded, and I know that we got to be able to guard and coach that side of the ball. So, you know, I need to get somebody that's passionate about defense the way I am about offense. I need to get a recruiting coordinator, obviously, because I've done that in the past, and as hard as it will be for me to delegate that to someone else, I do know that's something as a head coach that I have to do. My biggest thing is player development, though. I want people that are very, very good and passionate about getting in the gym one-on-one and improving the players that we have here now. And that's for the players that are here. That's for the incoming players. That's for the players that we will recruit here. So I want to make sure that we get some people that are really good at that and good in that area and want to do it, you know. So I definitely got some people in mind. I am close, I believe, to locking one of those in. And you just kind of go from there and see. And then you got to see who's interested, you know. A lot of times some of your friends or people, not necessarily friends, people you know in the business are interested and you had no idea. So as overwhelming as it can be for people to be reaching out to you about the job, sometimes people reach out that you had no idea that would be interested, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, absolutely, you know. So you just kind of got to take it day by day, and it can be stressful, but it's important. It's a very, very, very important decision, and hiring the right staff for Utah State is just as important as the players that I recruit. So, yeah, it's a big decision and something that I need to, you know, really put a lot of thought into and a lot of research into.
Well, Coach, we'll wrap things up, but before we do, is there anything else you want to leave with Aggie Nation and Aggie fans?
No, just, man, I cannot wait to get out there. I can't wait to get out in the community. I hate right now. There's no one out there, you know. Everyone's in their house, and I'm having to kind of introduce myself on videos and radio and podcasts and this type of stuff. So for anyone that's listening, you know, I can't wait. I'm so excited. You know, John Hartwell told me that I'm the female version of Craig Smith, and that couldn't be a bigger compliment to me. I think that guy's awesome, and he was relating. Yeah, it really is. And he was relating to his energy level, and so that's me. That's who I am. I'm super passionate about this. There's no place I'd rather be. This is truly a dream come true, and we're gonna do some really big things here. You know, we're about to make some noise here with the women's basketball program and in the Mountain West, and I hope the fans are as fired up as I am. And I'm going to be super interactive with them. You know, there's been a ton of reaching out via social media, and I've tried to respond to every single one of those people that has sent something to me on Twitter. And that's really important to me, to be involved in the community and with the fans. So I can't wait. I can't wait to just really dive in and get started and meet the people in Logan. And I know there's support here. I see the crowds at the men's teams, you know, I mean, at the men's games. So I know they're out there. I know they want to support, you know, so it's my job now to make sure that I put this thing together and put a product on the floor that they want to come watch, that excites them. And you know, John trusts me enough to do that, and I know I can. So I'm so grateful to be here, and I can't wait, Aggie Nation. So I hope you guys are ready, because I'm ready and we're coming.
Well, Coach, we're glad to have you here. Welcome to Aggie Nation. I think that Aggie fans can't wait either to see what's going to be on the floor this fall and get this thing going. So I appreciate you coming on, taking a little bit of time. I know that these last few days have been probably pretty crazy for you.
No, happy to do it, man. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.